I got great news, guys.
It's the news update from Game Time Decisions.
Thank you very much, guys. Hey, everybody, I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports News Update. Need lots of afternoon baseball on the go. Let's hit the live scoreboard, fellas. It's gone final. The St. Louis Cardinals, they hold on to beat the Pittsburgh Pirates. Got interesting at the end. 6-5, the final. Paul Goldschmidt's 18th dinger, a three-run blast. The difference in this one, Carlos Martinez saved number six for the Redbirds. The Mets all over Minnesota. The underdog Mets smoking many right now. 14-4 in the bottom of the ninth inning right now. Milwaukee and Atlanta. Brew Crew up 5-2 in the bottom of eight. Cincinnati and the Cubs 4-1. Cubbies were in the top of eight in that baseball game. San Francisco and Colorado, they're tied at five at the end of five. And Seattle and Oakland, the Oakland A's are up 3-2 now in the bottom of the fifth inning. It appears that this season could be Aroldis Chapman's last with the New York Yankees. The All-Star closer is quote-unquote 100% going to opt out of his contract at the end of the season. This according to Ken Rosenthal. Chapman set to make $30 million over the final 2 years of his five-year $86 million pact. The 31-year-old would be one of the most coveted relievers on the market if he enters free agency, as Dylan Betances and Aroldis Vizcaino coming off injuries. Chapman putting together a solid season, even when we bet him, he gave up the three-run jack, but still a 2.09 FIP, going 25-for-29 and save opportunities for the AL East leading Yankees, and the lefty owns a 14.9 K per nine rate as well. The Texas Rangers lefty Mike Minor is likely going to be dealt before the July 31st deadline, according to MLB's John Morosi. The Milwaukee Brewers and Phillies among the teams interested in the 31-year-old services. Minor coming off his first All-Star appearance in his career, on fire this year, posting a 2.73 ERA and 122 innings of work, along with 121 strikeouts to boot. The Blue Jays have acquired a right-hander pitcher Wilmer Font from the Mets for our favorite in return, cold hard cash. Let's take a look at tonight's evening betting lines. Here we got three games at 7:05. Washington minus 185 at Baltimore. Feedy versus Brooks, total 11.5. Tampa Bay at the Yanks. Pinstripes minus 165. 10. Chirinos versus Herman. Dodgers minus 165 at Philly, over under 11. Maeda versus Pavetta. Three more at 7:10. We got Toronto at Boston. Red Sox minus 255. 11. Sanchez and Rodriguez. Detroit at Cleveland. The Indians minus 310. Total 9. Turnbull versus Clevenger. San Diego minus $1.60 at Miami. 7.5. Paddock versus Richards. At 8:05, we have Arizona minus 25 cents at the Texas Rangers. 10.5. Ray versus Chavez. 8:15. We got White Sox in Kansas City. Royals minus 135, 10.5. Nova versus Duffman. And 10:07, Houston minus 195 at the Angels. Cole versus Pena, total 9 flat. In the NFL, a felony arrest warrant has been issued for Arizona Cardinals offensive tackle Desmond Harrison. According to the Greensboro Police, Harrison is being charged with assault on a person by strangulation and assault on a female by a male perpetrator as well. As this news broke, the Cardinals released the 25-year-old Harrison. The Denver Broncos will have wideout Emmanuel Sanders and running back Philip Lindsay at their camp. Both of the seasons cut short last year due to injuries. In the NHL, the Colorado Avalanche have avoided arbitration with forward JT Compher, and they signed him to a four-year, $14 million deal today. Compher set to have an arbitration hearing on July 31st, but the 24-year-old restricted free agent, he produced 16 goals and 32 points in 66 regular games. They wanted to sign him, and he played his best hockey in the playoffs, 6 points in 12 games. The Seattle's expansion franchise are going to be naming Ron Francis as their inaugural GM. Sources telling Jeff Baker of the Seattle Times, it's likely Francis's contract will run for 5 years. He's going to get a mid-range salary compared to other GMs, and he's largely responsible for building the Carolina Hurricanes franchise that made it to the NBA Eastern Conference Final in 2018-19. He joined the club's front office in 2006. During his Hall of Fame playing career, Ron Francis, two Stanley Cups, three Lady Bings trophies, a Selkie, and he's fifth on the NHL's all-time career point list. In the NBA, the Raptors have signed Cameron Payne to a two-year deal. Another major in golf, it gets going 1 o'clock in the morning tonight. The Open Championship, Rory McIlroy, the favorite, 8-1. Mr. Major, Brooks Koepka, 10-1. DJ and Tiger Woods are listed at 16-1 to lift the claret jug. Four games in the MLS tonight, and one final from the WNBA. Chicago trimming Atlanta, 77-76 is the final. Hi, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morenci hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio. It's coming up next. We'll talk everything. Talk to Mark Lawrence about some CUSA college football as well, and break down the betting board. So everybody stick around. It's going to be a fun Wednesday on the show. Gabe Morenci hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio, and it's coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Red Heat Trade Radio. We're throwing it down live at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Meadowlands Racetrack. It's a very busy afternoon right now. The Pony Players are busting up Saratoga as we speak. You just heard Cam Stewart tell you that Mark Lawrence will be joining us. And Mark Lawrence will be joining us on the show. We'll talk Conference USA college football with Mark Lawrence, playbook.com's Mark Lawrence. LouGamblou.com will join us. It's only fitting if we're doing a show out of a sportsbook and racetrack that somebody named Gamblou joins us. We'll talk some UFC with Lou, maybe a little NFL as well. Of course, the countdown to the British Open is on. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart, no doubt, has a lot of plays ready to give us for the Open. What's up, Cam?
What's happening, Gabe? Yeah, you said it. Saratoga running right now. It's interesting. A lot of scratches in these races, too. It looks like a sloppy track. I was expected for me and you to get on some of these races while you're at the book, but diminished fields. As for the Open Championship, really starting to feel a couple guys. And Justin Thomas is a name that just keeps on popping out to me, but we'll talk more about him. And got you a six-pack, some DFS plays, and hopefully some top 10s and 20s. And let's make some money 3 weeks in a row. Baseball, who knows what's going to happen in baseball? So I'm going to hit the links. Or
last night was tough. Last night was even more frustrating than Monday night was here last night. Cam,
I got baseball. I got smoke, Gabe. Like
I just can't handle teams coming back only to give the lead back again and then lose the game. It drives me crazy. Yeah.
It drives me nuts, too. Horrible. Yeah, the Rockies tied it up last night. They lose an extras. Got to give San Francisco credit. They just scored again, leading again. Hottest team in baseball. They're grinding. But you say it gave these big favorites. Like, look at the Blue Jays taking out the Red Sox. Who knew Cashner was going to shit the bed? Not many people. This is the thing. It's a long, crazy season, buddy, and things that you expect don't happen. Weird day. Who thought the Mets would beat the Twins 14-4 today? What are you going to do?
Yeah, listen. It's a long season, man. It's a long baseball season. And even the worst teams in the league are going to rattle off five, six game win streaks, etc. Mm-hmm. We're in the dog days of summer. Teams are starting to grind a little bit. It's hot, humid everywhere. And I know it sounds cliche, but even the best team loses like 60 plus times a year, Cam, in baseball. And you know, it's just sort of the units. It's we're at the time now where that's all there's been the last couple of nights. Yeah, and let's be real. I wouldn't have been betting as many units on these baseball games if I wasn't sitting here this week.
Oh, let's I agree just with be you. Real about this. I agree. I agree with you 100%. Me and you like to gamble. The ponies. There've been a lot of racetracks that I can't get, so I'm playing more baseball. And the problem is, I'm losing, not winning. So all the golf monies have been slowly sucked up. What are you gonna do about it? Hopefully, you know, like. What can I say, Gabe? I'm hoping for good things from the Open Championship this week. I got to be honest with you. I'm dealing with a lot. I am a defeated bear right now. I've been absolutely fumbled.
You know, there was a dude in my elevator, and I said to him, I said, "How you doing tonight?" He paused for a long time, and he looked at me, and he goes, "I don't know." And I told him, "Yeah, I think that's one of the best comebacks I've ever gotten before." Like, he actually thought about it. He's like, I don't know.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, game time decisions, Red Heat Rage on Radio. I am Gable Moretti, throwing it down at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Meadowlands Racetrack. Kicking it with Cam Stewart. People laying it down on Saratoga. We have a pretty lively crowd here on this Wednesday afternoon. Lou from Gamblou
UFC.com will join us a little bit later on. We'll talk some UFC. Baker Mayfield keeps talking and putting a bigger target on his and the Cleveland Browns back. We'll definitely get into this, but we're going to focus more on college football right now. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, joins us. Mark, always a pleasure. How you doing this afternoon?
Hey, my pleasure as always, Gabe. I'm doing great. How you doing?
I think you'd fit right in here, Mark. We're sitting alongside about, 200-400 horse players right now, betting Saratoga at the Meadowlands.
Oh, there you go. That's nice. Saratoga is a big meet, much like Del Mar in California, Saratoga in the east. So it does bring the racing fans out, no question.
And I spoke to Paul Bovey about an hour ago, and Paul Bovey's actually sitting in the grandstand right now as we speak, Cam, at Del Mar.
He's at Del Mar. Oh, good for Paul. Paul, he picks the good tracks. A big bomb just came in at Saratoga, 15-1. So, it's all happening, the four-horse, Gabe. Slavey gets it done there. Weird field. Looks very sloppy there right now, Gabe. His mutter was a mutter. Very, very sloppy.
Yeah, it is. It's a muddy track right now at Saratoga. So, listen, before we get into the Conference USA, Mark, there's a lot of hype about the Cleveland Browns coming into this season. Baker Mayfield was very successful last year as a rookie. Yet he talks as if though he's like the kid talks more than Tom Brady does. I mean, he talks more than Ben Roethlisberger does. He talks as if though he's like a four-time MVP and a six-time Super Bowl champion, calling out his own teammate in Duke Johnson, a consummate professional that's been in the league forever, one of the most consistent running backs in the league over the years too. Says, well, if he's a professional, he'll show up. We'll see. Kind of rolls his eyes. His own teammates pulled him aside and said, yo, don't talk about veterans in that way. And now earlier in the day, the kid's running his mouth about the New York Giant organization, which is one thing, but specifically New York Giant fans as well, saying now Odell is playing in a city with real fans that actually show up every week and actually care about football. I guess they don't teach history or they don't get NFL football at Oklahoma. It's one of the stupidest comments that I've heard this kid say. But I tell you, Mark, that target just gets bigger and bigger every time he opens his mouth, too.
You know, it's amazing, Gabe. I just tweeted out this morning about the Cleveland Browns and the fact that it's not time yet to pop the champagne. It'll be in the coffee club tomorrow. And if you go back to when they realigned the divisions in 2002, if you look at the AFC North championship title winners, Pittsburgh has 8 titles, Baltimore 5, Cincinnati 4, and Cleveland 0. So until you win a title, I don't think you should be yapping like he's yapping here right now. The other side of the coin is, if you take a look at the cover of the Playbook Football Preview Guide magazine, where we have Baker Mayfield featured on there, he's wearing a wristband. And on that wristband, it says humble over hype. And what he needs to do is carry that wristband around with him a little bit more often rather than talking to the media like that.
Good call.
Humble over hype. It's always the guys that say they're humble that are actually aren't.
It's true. He's got the biggest mouth going. Come on, man.
Yeah, Conor McGregor says that, Cam. After Conor, he loses, he goes, I'm humble in victory, and I'm humble in, humble in victory. You teabag people after you win. Like, you're humble. Yeah, Baker Mayfield, real humble. But, you know, it's interesting. I was wondering what the number would be for the season win total for the Cleveland Browns in the offseason. It's 9.5, and it seems to have settled in. And even though the media is all over the Cleveland Browns, Mark and Cam, it's like they are going to be a media circus. I get it. They're going to be on national television often this year. I get all that. But the betting community, the betting market, and let's be real, it's not the casual $20 a game or $20 parlay player that's moving season win totals in the month of May. June, July, etc. And I'll tell you, Mark, the bettors haven't bit on this. I've read a lot of the odds makers talking about this. They were talking about it down at South Point. They're like, nah, the sharp guys are fading the Browns, and nobody's really bet them yet. Do you think there'll be a push to the window when the public starts paying attention in late August to the Cleveland Browns?
Unquestionably, there will be. You know, they are every year there's an it team, the team that the public just has to have a piece of it, and it's the Cleveland Browns this year. We saw San Francisco when Jimmy Garoppolo signed.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns after Baker Mayfield's rookie season, where he very nearly won the Rookie of the Year. And a lot of people start making their case because when Freddie Kitchens took over calling the plays for the Browns last year, Baker Mayfield's record, his stats were through the charts. And now they've got Odell Beckham added to the offense here as well. So everybody's seeing that. But the bottom line here is that was last year. This is this year. It's a different year. And there's different circumstances. And, you know, everything is all about the line. It's all about what price you're seeing as to what kind of a position you're going to take in the game. And at 9.5 wins, that's much, much too high for the Cleveland Browns. I think the Browns will be satisfied, honestly, with the winning record, 8 wins. And everybody's going to be targeting them this year. So I think they need to kind of like eat some humble pie here real quick before the season begins.
I think Pittsburgh are the team to beat, Kevin, in this division.
Yep, and I think you guys bring up some great points. I'm on Pittsburgh too, Gabe. I was on Cleveland a little bit before when they were bad, and now they're good, and I'm going to stay away from these guys. I agree with what you and Mark are saying, and I think something that's going to be under-talked about, and you just mentioned Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens is taking a lot of egos on, Gabe, and he's a new coach. He's not an old season veteran there. You got Mayfield, you got Beckham Jr., you got a lot of guys. Can he handle that? That's the thing, man, because he's going to be in situations where he might crumble, and if he does, this thing can crumble fast. He's a big X factor.
He's already been combative with the media, guys. In minicamp, he was combative with the media.
Yeah.
Why you ask these questions? I'm not going to answer everything you ask me. It's like, dude, you're in minicamp.
Yeah,
it's like rookie camp here, bro. Chill out. Like, wait till Odell starts throwing things on the sidelines, Mark.
he sounds like a grizzled Andy Reid right now, but the problem is Andy Reid's got a few games under his belt, a lot of barbecue beef in his belly, and Freddie Kitchens only has that barbecue beef in his belly.
barbecue beef
in the belly.
That's
I like
amazing,
that.
Mark.
That's, you know, that's funny you say that. We've gone through this segment almost. We'll get into the conference USA on the other side, but people are sort of looking for that Chief regression. I'm not so sure it's coming. Mahomes isn't throwing 50 touchdowns again, but he'll probably throw 42, 44. He's still going to put up stupid numbers. You know, offensively, whatever, man. They were scoring 35 points a game last year, even if they scored 32 or 30 or whatever. But people don't focus on the defense enough, Mark. Kansas City Chiefs greatly improved on the defensive side of the football. I'm starting to kick the tires on them to go to the Super Bowl this year for real. This, I think you just mentioned Andy Reid. That's what triggered it. But I think Andy Reid, you know, the football gods owe this guy another trip to the bowl too, don't they?
You'd think.
Yeah, they certainly do. You know, he's paid his dues. He's been there and done that. You know, I think what the holes are, obviously, is Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill. If they're, you know, Hunt's gone, he'll likely will be, or at least for a period of time.
I don't think he will be.
You know, you don't really, no?
I don't think he's going to get suspended, no.
Well, I mean, after the Ray Rice incident and, you know, coming down as they are on players, you know, with domestic violence. Well, I think he's going to get something anyway. But the bottom line is that Chiefs offense won't be the same one we saw it last year. The defense has to improve because they went really backwards last year. They were a 400-yard defense that allowed almost 5 yards a carry. If I'm Andy Reid, that's my main concern. I think Patrick Mahomes takes care of the offense. It's the defense that Kansas City has to shore up this year.
All right, we'll hit the Conference USA on the other side. The battle in Florida, FAU, FIU. Butch Davis, Lane Kiffin, a couple of former NFL coaches in the Team USA.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Fantasy football season has started. Season-long drafts in full swing, and Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings anywhere on the internet. David Mazzadek and the Roto Experts provide dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge, regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with the promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off the NFL 365 fantasy football package, only at rotoexperts.com.
Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage Radio continues. I'm Gabriel Morenci at the FanDuel Sportsbook Meadowlands Racetrack. Busy afternoon right now as the Patriots are laying it down on Louisiana Downs, on Indiana Grand, and, of course, on Indiana Grand. Yeah.
Love Indiana Grand.
And, of course, Saratoga. Saratoga. It's going to be crazy when it's live racing here when we're doing the show, too. But we got Mark Lawrence with us right now. Let's jump in. You can pick up the Playbook College Football Preview, at a newsstand near you. Go to playbook.com for information. You can get it on your mobile device, whatever platform you want it on. We're going through the conferences in alphabetical order, so we're into the C's right now, which means Conference USA. And a couple of years ago, Mark, both you and I were high on Lane Kiffin and Florida Atlantic, and they put up 11 wins in a memorable, epic season. Last year, they did not handle the pressure very well. And, in fact, they were money burners. They were one of the worst teams in college football against the point spread. Yet here they are, favorites once again to win the Conference USA at plus 300 right here at the FanDuel. Meanwhile, their state rival, Butch Davis, FIU, the Panthers, you can get plus 450 with FIU. Then it's Southern Mississippi at plus 480. And then we got North Texas at plus 550. Then there's a little bit of a drop off to Louisiana Tech. So, according to the odds makers, this is a pretty competitive conference that's pretty wide open as far as who can win it, Mark.
It's wide open, Gabe. You take a look at the season win totals. You take a look at the odds that they posted against them. And it's the kind of a conference that any team wins it, nobody's going to be surprised, because you can make cases for probably three or four teams on both sides of the divisions. Four from the West look like they're mirrors of one another. And you could probably say much the same thing about the East. So probably a little bit of value there in doing just that, because the favorite is not an overwhelming favorite. So if you have some sides and edges, there could be some money to be made in the Conference USA.
So what's your take on FAU? We'll start at the top here with Florida Atlantic. I see they got 13 returning starters, including their quarterback, but they do lose their best football player, who's now a member of the Buffalo Bills, to Devin Singletary. Mark, is it a bounce-back season? Was that like 11-win year kind of an aberration with what Coach Kiffin did? What do you expect from this program this year?
You know, I kind of think, Gabe, that the 11-win season was more of an aberration than anything else as far as Florida Atlantic is concerned. You know, a lot of everything fell together for them that season. Lane Kiffin coming over. All the hype, all the talk, a lot of the positiveness about the football program, and they went out and they delivered. 11 wins, most ever in school football history, but then reality settled in last year with only 5 wins, and 5 wins with, as you said, an NFL football player on their roster who's going to make some noise in the National Football League, and Devin Singletary as well. So I'm looking for Kiffin to maybe eventually crawl his way back up, but I don't see it happening this year. And the reason I don't is, if you take a look at returning production rankings, they rank only 96th in the country as far as returning production goes. They had a little bit of a quarterback controversy. Chris Robeson, their quarterback starter last year, was going to battle DeAndre Francois from Florida State to transfer, but Francois, the books got a little too heavy for him, and they didn't like his party hours, and he's no longer on the football team. So it's now going to be Robeson taking back the quarterback position here. But bottom line to me, I can see Florida State struggling this football season here. Their season win total, 8 wins. That could be a little bit of a tall task for them.
Yeah, and Florida Atlantic, one thing I noticed about this team, too, they get tattooed against good teams in week 1. And this
Ever
has
Oklahoma?
Happened. Yeah, exactly. And if you recall, Dan Patrick asked Lane Kiffin earlier in the week about that game. And he said, Coach, you're going to Norman. How do you think you guys match up? And he goes, not very well. And he said, I wouldn't bet on us. He goes, I think this one's going to be a real blowout. And it was. Florida Atlantic are getting 27 points against Ohio State in week one. Buckeyes laying 27 against the Florida Atlantic. Cam, Owls?
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! That's a lot of points, Gabe.
How about your panther? What kind of panther sound you got for FIU?
Mark says it in the playbook. He's a friendly panther, Gabe, because they have a nice schedule. So that's the thing. As Mark says, Butch Cat on the prowl. You got to like it, Mark. A nice lean schedule. And even this year, too, with some returning starters, this Panther's got bite and claws.
Yes, they do, Cam. You take a look. No back-to-back road games for this football team. Part of that cushy schedule, if you will, they're bringing a senior quarterback back in James Morgan. He was the MVP of the Bahamas Bowl last year. He transferred from Bowling Green, and he fit in like a glove with the program last year. So that's good news for them. 16 starters back overall, number 6 in the country in returning production rankings. Really a lot of people back on offense for this team. It would not surprise me at all if they are not the team to beat, not only in the East, but also in the Conference USA this year. Butch Davis has done a masterful job with this football program here. I got to make them 1 or 1A in this Conference USA East Division.
You know what I like? We were just talking about Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin's all flash. And, you know, the interviews, and there's a lot of sizzle. Butch Davis, he's like the old lady in the Wendy's commercial. Where's the beef? Like, you know, he's been patient. He's been building this program up. And as Mark talks about, now you've got all this returning experience. Don't forget, guys, they lost their quarterback a couple of years ago. Back up on Seattle now, on the Seattle Seahawks. So, you know, they lost their quarterback. And FIU, like, sort of, you know, what they say, Mark, you know, what goes up fast comes down even faster, right? And we saw that with the Florida Atlantic program. Meanwhile, Florida International has just been more steady, but more consistent. More consistent. I like this football team a lot, too. So how about the Southern Miss, a program that, they were sort of put on the map because of Brett Favre, or people sort of start to find out about it because of Brett Favre. Then they were freaking consistent, and they were one of the best ATS teams, and they were a great sort of sharp, wise guy college football team to bet on. And then, you know, they hit rock bottom, man, when Munkin was the coach there, Todd Munkin, you know, 1-11 seasons, and they really were terrible. Yet, you know, they're sort of back right now, Mark. And like I said, the odds makers have them right behind Florida International to win this conference.
Well, I think the odds makers are spot on with the Florida International in the East and Southern Mississippi in the West. I think they're the team to beat in the West, Southern Miss. And, you know, for a lot of the right reasons, I keep hitting on this returning production. They're number one in the country with offensive returning production. 10 starters back on offense, everybody in the offensive line for this football program here. A lot to like about this team here. I think they're doing things the right way. You know, we all know how successful they were in bowl games year after year after year. Jay Hobson come over here, and he's taken them also to 2 bowl games in a row, and he didn't go bowling last year. He had 6 wins bowl eligible, but nobody wanted them in a bowl. I think that chip on their shoulder will be there for them this particular football season here. Loaded with all this experience, I got to make the Golden Eagles the team to beat in the West.
Mark Lawrence with us. How about the Mean Green? Yeah. Talking about a doormat of a football program, guys. Seth Luttrell took over a team, as you wrote, Mark, that was 1-11. Since then, he's won 23 football games, a division title in his first 3 years in Denton. They have a nice facility. This is a program that kind of has been flying under the radar. And, we all know Conference USA has produced a pretty good quarterback play over the years. And Mason Fine's a hell of a quarterback.
He sure is. I mean, if you're gonna, if you're gonna lose your offensive coordinator like North Texas did, you wouldn't want a better coach to be around, because Luttrell has been an offensive coordinator. In fact, I think he is the next Neil Brown that will graduate from the group of five to a Power Five football conference. He's done a terrific job with North Texas here. Mason Fine, as you mentioned, threw for almost 4,000 yards last year, 27 TDs and only 5 interceptions. He's got a lot of weapons here. In fact, returning production. This conference is loaded with returning production here. Number 5 in the country, number 2 in total offense. So there's a lot to like about North Texas here again this year. Like I say, 1-1A, North Texas, Southern Mississippi in the West.
How about this? North Texas was the only FBS team to outgain every opponent during the regular season last year.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive stat. You know, you're talking the likes of the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Oklahomas of the college football world, but they were the only team that was clean in the stats, outyarding every opponent they played.
Well, Mark, Gabe, I don't know. One thing we've learned over the years, sometimes history repeats itself, and the Marshall Thundering Herd are one of those teams, Mark. Come bowl time, you know what I mean? You want some extra gifts, just go all in with these guys. They do some real good things. 6-0 straight up and against the spread in bowl games under Doc Holliday. We talk about legendary coaches like Frank Solich and Snyder, but Doc Holliday's done a great job with this Marshall program throughout the years. But what do you think about the Thundering Herd this year, Mark? Perennial bowl team, but might get a little bit tougher this time around, but still a decent club?
Well, you hit it right on the head, Cam. Bowl teams out of the Conference USA, they happen to own the best bowl record in bowl games going back to 2011. They play hard in bowl games. They schedule bowl opponents in non-conference games. They're not afraid to take anybody on. And Marshall's one of those teams here. This is another football team in the East that I think is going to challenge FIU.
All right, when we come back, we'll take a look at Skip Holtz and Louisiana Tech, as Mark alluded to. There's a lot of experience returning this year in the Conference USA. High-scoring conference. You guys could be some overs cashing.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Very much, Yank. Game time decisions ready. Ranger Radio continues. FanDuel Sportsbook, Meadowlands, Raceback. I am Gable Reggie in front of town, Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart, Mark Lawrence with us for a couple of more minutes. Skip Holtz. Skip Holtz was one of the best moneymakers as a college football coach when he was at East Carolina, especially as an underdog, guys, as we both remember. You know, the Pirates were great. Scavengers, being the buckaroos that they were. They would scavenge covers as underdogs. Louisiana Tech, quite frankly, Mark, I mean, the offense just hasn't been good enough. We talk about the Conference USA. I mean, in the Conference USA, man, this isn't the Big Ten, dude. You know what I mean? Like, you know this, Cam. Like, you want to win football games in the Conference USA, you better be scoring in the 40 points, guys.
Easy, yep.
You got to score 40-plus points in this conference.
Mm-hmm.
And Louisiana Tech has had a hard time doing it recently.
No, they did 3 years ago, Gabe, but they've gone backwards offensively in both points scored and yards gained 3 years in a row. So there is obviously a U-turn needed by Skip Holtz here this football season here. You mentioned he's a great dog, 48-24 the spread in his career. That's, you know, it's like an automatic play. You have to either play him or, you know, don't lay the points with the favorite into him. But I think the thing that jumps out the most to me is the fact, if you take a look at this team, the last 3 years they've had 5 1-point losses. You turn those 5 1-point losses around, and you're talking about a team that could have won 10 games two of those 3 years, but they didn't. You know, and they're going to have to learn how to do just that. My concern here would be on the defensive side, where they've only got 5 starters back, nobody on the defensive line. Bottom line to me is I don't think they win their division here this football season here, but they're also a football team that could be in the West. I think they're the 3rd-best team in the West, and I'll be looking for Holtz taking points in the right situations.
Cam mentioned Marshall. They're at 9-1. So are UAB. Pretty crazy. Then there's a drop to the Raiders at Middle Tennessee at 14-1, but UAB's 9-1 even, Mark. Yep. You've literally got seven teams within 9-1 that they have posted to win this conference.
Yeah, four teams all with 7 or 7.5 season win totals. It's a crapshoot. It's, you know, you can make cases for any team you like. You know, the bottom line here is looking for that team you think is on the come as opposed to going backwards this football season. Here. That's why I think Southern Mississippi, Seth Luttrell, I think he's Neil Brown in the making there. I think that's one reason. UAB, really, really well-coached football team. The question I might have with them is, are they living a little bit on that borrowed time when they came back and the whole world rallied around them? When they came back after that death sentence here and they responded terrifically. But 11 wins last year, it's kind of hard to play up to that level again. What goes up usually comes down.
You're aging yourself, though, Mark, with the Don Meredith reference. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
He's over.
Used to say that at the end of Monday Night Football. Although last week, Mark, we looked up. Remember, like when you said you were coming from the stylist,
yes.
And you said only it's between you and your barber. Only you and your stylist knows what's in your hair, Mark. The color, right?
Yes.
Looked it up. That's a reference from 1955.
It is, really.
Yeah. It's the Clairol. It's the Clairol lady.
Your barber will know.
Only a hairdresser knows.
I should have said, I could have gone far back and started talking about Brill Cream and all those hair tonics. Yeah, all those things that they used back then.
You know what, Gabe? I like what Mark wrote about another interesting team here, like Charlotte. The Charlotte 49ers used to be a basketball school. They had the football program in a couple years. Will Hilly comes in there from Austin Peay, Mark. And I love what you said in your write-up, too. This group, young, they were spring chickens turned into barnyard roosters. And these guys, you're even thinking maybe bowl for this team. 11th-ranked defense among FBS schools. You got to like what the 49ers are doing. And in Conference USA, you can do things pretty quickly.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Cam. This is the team out of the East that I think can make some noise. You know, they're not going to win the division or threaten to win it, but I think they can threaten to become a bowl team this football season here. I think it's a perfect spot for them coming in as they are this football season here. Will Healy, their head coach, he comes over from Austin Peay, and he was the Eddie Robinson Award winner, National FCS Coach of the Year in 2017. So they're bringing somebody in here that knows how to win and how to get the job done here. Keep an eye on Charlotte here. I think they'll be in a lot more games than they will not this year.
A team that hasn't been in a lot of games, the Miners, UTEP, over UTEP. The years. I don't know how they've recruited, but they've actually recruited a couple of three-star recruits, 12 two-star recruits. They're starting to assemble a little bit more talent. I'm not talking bowl games, but will you be looking at UTEP at all this year, Mark, as an underdog in situations?
Probably not. They're Texas El Paso. You have to think that if you're going to play an underdog, you have a chance to win the game. And I don't think they're at that level here yet this football season. Here, they're going to be taking big, big points, a big bucket of points. So it might be difficult laying them into them. But, you know, you can also make a choice of backing out, not playing a team or a game. They do one win in two seasons. They're going to have to show me a little bit more here. And they're also, take a look at, you're talking about returning production experience, 124th overall, 129th defensively. They improved defensively last year, but I think that goes backwards this year. And the UTEP's in a little bit of trouble this season.
Cam, this is something to remember come Saturday afternoons this year. The Rice Owls, a lot of owls out there. Rice Owls, 31-11-3 against the spread as a conference home dog, including 16-2-2 against the spread when taking less than 7 points. That's from Mark Lawrence's database. That's a hell of a track record as a home dog, Mark.
Yeah, for a bad football team, it sure is, Gabe. You know, there's some teams that you can maybe that are bad teams, but you know when they're in the right role, when they're at home. This football team tends to stand up a little bit. They had a tough season last year. They went through four starting quarterbacks last year. They started the third most amount of freshmen, the third most underclassmen. That usually turns around for a football team the following year. They come back with the fifth-ranked team in total returning production, fourth on defense here. The Owls could be a little bit crispy this year. I think they're going to end up being a nice point spread play.
Crispy, just the way Cam likes
crispy. Yeah, I like crispy. I like my chicken crispy, my bacon crispy. There's another one, Gabe. Mark's the best. I'm looking at Old Dominion here. He goes, sadly, Wilder shopping at TJ Maxx for JUCOs this year. TJ Maxx, Mark. Yeah, TJ Maxx in there. I've been to TJ Maxx. You can get like eight shirts for like $20 there at TJ Maxx. But Old Dominion, the Monarchs too, they're an interesting team, kind of like Charlotte there. But the 49ers have a lot more upside than Old D does, right, Mark?
No question about it, Cam. You take a look. This team is really hurting from the returning production side of things. As they say, they had to go out and hit that JUCO circuit this year. That's never a good thing when you have to do just that. You know, Bobby Wilder's been there for quite a while, but the bottom line here, I think it all ends for them. It comes to a tough season this year. They even had their home sellout win streak snapped last year at 60. So if the fans are beginning to walk away from this team, so too am I at the betting window.
Man, how many teams are in a Conference USA? 22? This is the biggest
well, there's 14.
Two Owls?
How about there's... Yeah, 14 of them in the Conference USA and only 10 in the Big 12. Go figure that out.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so the only ones we haven't gotten to, we didn't get to Western Kentucky, and we didn't get to the Roadrunners. And then we can let you go, Mark. So Western Kentucky, I hope this Helton can coach better than the other Helton because Clay's in a lot of trouble. So Clay Helton's brother takes over Western Kentucky. Longtime offensive coordinator, though, at WKU, USC, Tennessee. He's been around. He does have experience as an OC before, Mark.
Well, what he's going to do is put some juice into this program here, Gabe. This is a team that was really highly potent offensively, and, you know, they're putting up basketball scores at a point in time when Jeff Brohm was there. Things went sideways with them when Mike Sanford came in. And I think Helton can reignite this offense. And he's going to need to do that. He's got a lot of young kids on this program that played before, and that's that recipe again, playing a lot of young kids to let them be mature and become experienced. He's got 10 starters back on offense, everybody in the offensive line. This is a team you got to watch. I got to respect them this year here. I think Helton bringing that playbook over here, if he's not, like you say, like Clay Helton, his brother here, I think he can put some spark into this Western Kentucky team.
And finally, in closing, BB. Roadrunners.
Beep, beep.
Well, the UTSA Roadrunners, Texas San Antonio, this is one of the teams that doesn't have a lot of experience like a lot of teams in this conference do. They're bringing their third offensive coordinator in as many years. That's never a good sign. The offense regressed 140 yards. The defense went backwards nearly 140 yards last year. Not a lot to like or say about Tennessee, the Roadrunner, or Texas San Antonio, the Roadrunners. That's why they and Texas El Paso, you know, if you want to bet them, you can get plus 10,000 on a betting line. Their season win total is only 2. But you got to tell me, Gabe, which of those two games they're going to win this football season.
Mark Lawrence with us, playbook.com. And Mark also has, so you can get the playbook, guys. You'll be totally prepared for the upcoming season. Great information as far as NFL football, pro football, college football, statistical trends. Mark Lawrence's database is second to none. Returning production, a great addition to the playbook. But, of course, those of you know, Mark Lawrence is a coffee club delivered to your inbox on a daily basis, available on your mobile devices as well. And looking at tonight's coffee club facts, Garrett Cole on the hill for the Houston Astros tonight brings a 7-2 mark with a 2.21 earned run average and a 0.95 whip in his last nine team starts in Anaheim tonight. He's 38-15, listed as chalk. 4-0 his last four team starts against the Halos. 2-0 in his career in this park, not to mention 10-4 with a 3.36 earned run average. When coming off a team start loss, there's a lot of ledgers, Mark, next to the Astros' name tonight.
Yeah, we like to say he's checking a lot of boxes, is Gerrit Cole. And I like to look at ace pitchers when they failed in their previous start. And when you can do that and bring some history to the pitcher, you end up making a nice case for a team. Now, some people don't want to go out and lay this kind of chalk, but I would use this as insurance not to bet the dog. So you're either going to play Houston or not play the game.
Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. Great stuff, Mark. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure, as always, guys. You guys enjoy the games. I'll catch you next week.
Mark Lawrence with us. Can't wait for college football. We'll have something else to bet on besides just baseball. Well, we do have golf. You've got some golf, and you've been killing the golf. You're playing with house money almost with the golf. We have CFL football tomorrow.
Till baseball, Gabe. I'm giving it away. That's the problem when we bet every night. You're at the book doing the live show. Like, we want action, right? A smart man would have socked it away. But I'm not saying I'm a smart man. And I'll tell you one thing, not going back to the Rockies, San Fran winning again, Gabe. Is this team going to make the playoffs the way they're rolling? Like, they're thinking about a wild card run. The Giants are on fire.
They went from being certain sellers to seriously consider this now. Now, the thing is, I talked about this last night a little bit in in-game live. They have five teams that are ahead of them.
Yeah.
But, and are they going to, they can't continue to play at this rate, and they're doing this just to get back to 500. But on the same equation, Tim, I feel as though they owe it to Bruce Bochy on the way out to give this guy a chance.
Good. Exactly. Do it
they're
for
heating
Poach.
Up. Yeah. He's got the magic touch, this guy. The biggest
head
in the game.
Full
big
of brain.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Mark Lawrence joining us on the program. Great stuff with Mark. As always, we've got Major League Baseball on tap here this evening. But if you're all baseballed out so far this week, MLS returns, Cam, tonight. We got four MLS games on tap. Yeah, four of them.
You betting?
Yeah, I'm looking here. You don't have to be Pelé to know the Vancouver Whitecaps are a terrible team. New England, the Revolution, the Rev. They've got an 8-game unbeaten streak going right now, too, Cam. The problem is, but there's always a problem. The problem is they're minus 290. Minus 290. Atlanta United are minus 175. They're the defending champions, of course. They've got some injuries, and they're not playing quite as well. They're minus 175. Houston Dynamo go to Atlanta. New England hosts Vancouver, minus 290. Chicago Fire, minus 155 against the visiting crew. And TFC, actually, down at the BMO Cam, hosting New York Red Bulls tonight. And TFC are favored, minus 140. I wouldn't trust them.
I agree with you. I agree with you. This is not
I think
their
a
year.
Draw. Plus 310.
I'd even look at New York. I'd even look at
Red
New York.
Red Bulls are a good team.
They are. They are very good.
How about
very
plus
careful.
One, Cam? Let's see if we can get plus one. Let's. What's a handicap here? Spread props. All right. FanDuel spread prop.
If you can get it, take it.
Dude, I get the Red Bulls plus one, plus 110.
Yep. I like that.
So if I lose... Yeah. Nah, but no push. No push.
Okay, no pushy?
Yeah. No push.
Steve Pushy. You need the Steve Pushy, or else you can't do it, buddy. Sorry. I'm going to have to put my foot down. Sorry.
I know.
It changes everything.
It does change a lot.
We got to have winners tonight, buddy. Baseball's really it's hot, running hot and cold. I'm doing okay today, though. Actually had a piece of Milwaukee. They held on. They had a 5-0 lead. They went 5-4. Like, baseball, it's not good for your heart. Too many swings.
Good call. Yeah, the Brewers last night, too.
Yeah, but I lost everything else.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Update from Game Time Decisions.
News. Thank you very much, Yang. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports News Update. We got some breaking news here. The Falcons signing a Jones, but not a Julio. Deion Jones, very solid linebacker, though, has signed a four-year extension with Atlanta for $57 million, $34 million guaranteed. More to come on this story. Crazy stuff in the NFL. A felony arrest warrant has been issued for Cardinals offensive tackle Desmond Harrison. Harrison being charged with assault on a person by strangulation and assault on a female. After this news broke, the Arizona Cardinals released the 25-year-old offensive lineman. The Denver Broncos will have wideout Emmanuel Sanders and running back Philip Lindsay when camp starts. Both of their seasons cut short due to injuries last year. And that's good news for the Denver Broncos as Drew Lock still is waiting in the wings here. John Elway obviously saying Flacco is my guy. Also breaking in the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder in a story today. Increasingly expect Chris Paul to start with the team when the season starts. Interesting stuff. Let's go to the afternoon baseball card, fellas. The St. Louis Cardinals hold on to beat the Pirates 6-5. Goldschmidt's three-run dinger, the difference. Carlos Martinez picks up the save for the Redbirds. Mets, big underdog there. They got it done today, smoking the Minnesota Twins 14-4 on the road. Vargas with the win. For the Mets over the Twins. Milwaukee, Atlanta. Brew Crew hold on for a 5-4 win. It got scary. Milwaukee up 5. Anderson the win. Keuchel the loss. Hader save number 21 for the Brew Crew. Cincy and Cubs. Cubs, Yu Darvish starting to be a lot better. 5-2. Darvish the win. Gray the loss. Kimbrel the save for Chicago. And right now, San Francisco, they are winning again. 8-5 in the top of the eighth. They're going for 5 in a row with a win over Colorado. The Giants will be 9-2 in their last 11 games. And Oakland is up on Seattle 7-2. They are playing in the bottom of the seventh inning. It appears this season could be Aroldis Chapman's last with the Yanks. The All-Star closer says, quote-unquote, 1,000,000% going to opt out of his contract at the end of the season. This according to Ken Rosenthal. Chapman set to make $30 million over the final 2 years of his five-year $86 million pack there. Chapman putting together a very, very solid season for the Pinstripes, posting a 2.09 FIP. While going 25-29 in save opportunities for the AL East leading Yankees, and the lefty owns a 14.9 K rate per nine innings. The Texas Rangers lefty Mike Minor likely going to be traded before the July 31st deadline. This according to MLB Network's John Morosi. The Brewers and Phillies among the listed teams interested in the top of the list of the 31-year-old services. Minor coming off a great season too, his first All-Star appearance, and he has a 2.73 ERA. And 122 innings of work along with 121 strikeouts. Blue Jays have acquired pitcher Wilmer Font from the Mets for our favorite thing, cold hard cash. Let's take a look at the lines for tonight. Three games at 7:05. Washington minus 185 at Baltimore. Feedy and Brooks total 11.5 in that game. Tampa Bay taking on the Yankees. Pinstripes minus 165-10. Chirinos and Herman. Dodgers laying 65 cents at Philly 11. Nada versus Pavetta. Three more at 7:10. Toronto at Boston. Red Sox 255 favorites. 11, Sanchez and Rodriguez. We got Detroit at Cleveland. Indians, big chalk, minus 310, total 9, Turnbull and Clevenger. San Diego laying 60 cents at Miami, 7.5, Paddock and Richards. 8:05 action, Arizona, 25-cent favorites at Texas, 10.5, Ray and Chavez. 8:15, White Sox at KC, Royals minus $1.30, 10.5, Nova and Duffy. 10:07 action, Houston, minus 195 at the LA Angels. Cole, he's on fire versus Pena, and we have a total of 9 in that baseball game. In the NHL, the Colorado Avalanche avoiding arbitration with forward JT Compher. They signed him to a four-year, $14 million deal today. He had an arbitration meeting coming up, 16 goals and 32 points in 66 games. Also very solid in the postseason for the Avalanche. He had 6 points and some big goals. The NHL Seattle expansion franchise is going to name former Hartford Whaler legend Ron Francis as their team's inaugural GM, sources telling Jeff Baker of the Seattle Times. Francis is largely responsible for building the Carolina Hurricanes franchise that made it to the Eastern Final in 2018-19. He joined the club office in 2016, GM and executive VP in 2014, and what a career. He's a fifth on the NHL's all-time career point list as well. So we love Ronnie Francis. That's a good hire if they get it done. NBA Raptor signing Cameron Payne. Golf tomorrow, Rory McIlroy, the hometown favorite, 8-1. Koepka, 10-1. DJ and Tiger are listed at 16-1. Gabe mentioned it, four games in the MLS tonight. We will go through the board, the baseball board, and a whole lot more. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morency hosts Hour 2 of Red Heat and Rage Radio. Coming up next, we'll go through the baseball board, some soccer, golf, and all everything on the betting board. Stick around. Hour 2 of Red Heat and Rage Radio on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Level 2. Game time decisions. Red Heat and Rage Radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network live from the FanDuel Sportsbook. Meadowlands Racetrack. Busy place this afternoon. It's only going to get busier as the football season rapidly approaches. We'll get into a little football. We briefly talked about Baker Mayfield's big mouth earlier. Yet the Cleveland Browns already with a ton of pressure. The Cleveland Browns are already going to be a soap opera as it is. They don't need any self-inflicted wounds. And Baker Mayfield seems to like to cut himself. We'll get to that a little bit later on. We got Major League Baseball on tap here this evening. MLS soccer shaking up a little bit. We got four MLS soccer games on the board. And, of course, the countdown is on, Cam. We're about 7.5 hours away from tee-off, the Open, the British Open.
Can't wait for the British Open. I think this one's going to be pretty wide open. It's interesting the way certain guys are coming in. Pressure on Rory McIlroy being from Northern Ireland. Brooks Koepka, very tired after, you know, always contending in every major. Is he going to have enough gas in the tank? I think there it opens up the door for a lot of other guys, Gabe. Those, you know, 18 to 45 type of guys. Like, I think that the second wave and third wave of guys where we look, the Justin Thomases, the Adam Scotts, the Henrik Stensons, guys on your card. Rafa Cabrera-Bale, a guy I love this week for top 20s and you know, for top 10s and sprinkling on the win. So I'm going to avoid the big chalk guys. Tiger Woods, too. If the winds pick up with his age, I think he's really going to struggle. We'll see what happens. They're predicting unpredictable weather. And that's the thing. If the winds don't pick up, they will eat Royal Portrush up. There will be very low scores. If it picks up, you want big ball strikers, guys like Koepka, Thomas, you know, guys who can really hit the ball deep because it's hard hitting into those winds in Northern Ireland, my friend.
It is. And this is a course that nobody knows. Nobody knows this course. They haven't played there in 68 years.
Yep.
So Rory does a bit. There's a couple
and
of
McDowell.
Dudes.
McDowell and Rory know it. The Irish guy, Shane Lowry.
Yeah,
deal.
But it's not like they're there and they played it a million times.
Exactly.
Or like that.
It's true.
You could argue one of the biggest advantages is Brooks Koepka's caddy, I guess, knows this this course very, very well. One of the reasons why I believe that Tiger Woods tried to play a practice round with Koepka. Yeah.
I love we talked about it too. Brooks Koepka. No, I'm not. And that's the thing, like Tiger Woods, I got to hand it to him. He's a master, too, getting the media and everybody on his side, made a joke of it. Kind of made Koepka kind of look like a dick, but I'll tell you one thing. Why would you? Like, if I was the major guy, I don't want to have Tiger Woods playing a practice round with me. I'm sorry. I like it. Me more
now,
guys
I thought,
like this.
I'm not in a hurry to bet on Rory, but Rory, unbelievable. Four straight top five finishes at the British Open.
I know.
Yeah, pretty impressive. BlueGamblu.com joins us next.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, level two continues. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage, our radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network, sportsgrid.com, iHeart, TuneIn, and many other platforms. We're throwing it down at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Meadowlands, a racetrack, and a casino. Saratoga has been a very, very popular track that people have been betting on today in the slop, in the mud. We got some baseball games on top. We got four MLS soccer games. I'll be back at 8 o'clock Eastern tonight. Joe Ranieri is going to join us again for a couple of hours. Cam will be with us tomorrow night. Joe Ranieri steps up and in tonight. Brian Leonard, longtime handicapper, wagertalk.com. Brian Leonard will join us. And Bano this evening.
We'll Bano's do some
live baseball talk, some live in-game MLS, maybe a little future talk as well. And then I look forward to Cam and Dane throwing down tomorrow night. We'll have some CFL football on the board tomorrow night. Let's bring in Lou right now, talk some MMA as the UFC is relentless on a weekly basis. This week they are in San Antonio. Lou, Gamblu.com. How you doing, Lou?
Doing great, guys. Always a pleasure, and looking forward to talking about some fights in Texas.
Yeah, San Antonio, Texas, throwing it down. So let's jump right in, Lou. Leon Edwards and Dos Anjos. I see that Edwards, small favorite against the veteran here. Does this fight, did it catch your eye when you saw this matchup?
It did catch my eye, and the first inclination was that I thought the price was very attractive on Edwards, considering. Now, I believe that Dos Anjos fought an unbelievable fight, his last out against Kevin Lee, but let's not forget, that was Kevin Lee's first soiree up in weight against a guy in Dos Anjos that had been fighting at that welterweight level for a few fights. And granted, Dos Anjos has fought a, you know, multitude of tough fights. He beat Lawler, then he comes back Covington and Usman, two top five guys arguably in that division. He loses both, and then was too much for Kevin Lee, who gassed out late. I think there's too much positive spin on Dos Anjos from the Kevin Lee fight, honestly, Gabriel. Dos Anjos is a touch undersized. Edwards is going to be 7 years the younger man. He's going to have 3 inches of height, and he's going to have 4 inches of reach in his arms, 5 inches of reach with his legs. I think the Dos Anjos coming in off of that win against Lee makes him feel pretty good about himself. Meanwhile, Edwards can't find anyone to fight him. Nobody in that division wants to take a fight against him. Dos Anjos is the fourth-ranked welterweight, Edwards 11. And I believe after Saturday, Edwards will be a higher-ranked welterweight than he currently is now. The issue with him is that Dos Anjos is durable, and Edwards' history has been one where he really fights to a lot of decisions. He can overwhelm guys. He beat Gunnar Nelson in a split decision. Cerrone, he finished Sabota real late in a fight. So I question whether he's got the kind of goods to finish Dos Anjos, but I do like him. And I think at minus 120, minus 125, that's a real fair price. And I don't like to pay too many negative prices anyway. I will take Edwards.
Yeah, he's won 7 straight fights since losing to Usman, and no shame in losing to Usman. As you mentioned, too, I don't see any totals yet for this, but I would imagine this fight would be going the distance, with the exception of somehow Edwards got submitted by Dos Anjos. But what you have to like, Lou, is so he loses to Usman back in 2015, yet you have to like the fact that he's consistently, every time that they've, every time they've moved it up, you know what I mean? Every time they've made it a little bit more difficult and the skill level of his opponent has been moved up, he's answered it, right? I mean, you know, Barberina is a tough guy. He gets it done, unanimous decision. Sabota was a guy that a lot of people were talking about. He finishes him. Cowboy Cerrone, you know, grinds it out against Cowboy. Gunnar Nelson. So he's beaten some pretty quality fighters. We have to give Edwards credit for this.
Not only that, those fighters, Gabriel, come with a litany of styles. Luque Barberina, exactly. Pressure strikers. Peter yep. Sabota, he's a ground fighter. Cerrone, you know, kickboxer. Gunnar Nelson, karate and a floor
and now,
fighter.
Now so, they throw jits at him. Now they throw jujitsu at him.
Exactly. So, but I honestly think the kid's got a chip on his shoulder. I think he's half peeved from getting schooled by Masvidal in the hallway of Masvidal's fight previous to Askren. And I think overall, whoever were to fight Leon Edwards on Saturday night would be in a bad spot.
Except Masvidal.
Masvidal's a fade for me. Masvidal's a fade moving forward for me, and I'd love to see Edwards Masvidal. I don't think Masvidal would take that fight.
I remember you said that actually last week. You were talking about you're waiting for the spot to go against him. So listen, Lou, you know, this card is an interesting one in Texas, and it's not, Cam, a card where there's a ton, at least you know, on the main card, it's not like there's a ton of massive favorites.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It also looks like a mean card, Gabe. Like some of these guys that I'm seeing, like, a lot of veterans, I feel punishment in Texas when I look at some of these names here. Some older guys, like a lot of mean-spirited fighters. Would you guys not agree in this one? We're going to see some down and dirty, maybe some blood and some craziness on this card there, guys.
Yeah, they've got fighters with bad intentions. Like Leon Edwards is a cocky kid. He's got an attitude. Walt Harrison Olynyk will be a fun fight. You got Greg Hardy.
Finally,
James,
right?
James Vick is a mouthy kid, as Lou knows. So, Walt Harris and Olynyk. Any opinion on that fight, Lou?
Yeah, I happen to think that, you know, Harris really is nothing but power, and Olynyk is going to have a vast size disadvantage, but a vast experience advantage as well as a reach advantage. I'm surprised Harris is the favorite, and I think Olynyk is a mangy mutt. I think he's a live dog. That's surely a dog that I'm looking at in this card. Listen, if he can get this fight into the second round, I think Harris could be slow, sluggish, out of gas, and this guy could be all over him.
Yeah, he's 42, but I like the experience as well. He's fought in everybody. He's beaten some very, you know, big dudes, big names. He should be able, I agree with you, he should be able to get through Walt Harris here. So Greg Hardy, and I'll be on the Boa Constructor, the Russian as well. So Greg Hardy has been massively favored in all of his fights. I was somewhat surprised to see that he wasn't such a big favorite this time around. And I guess that's because he's fighting a big-ass dudes here in the Kraken in Juan Adams, coming from the Dana White Contender series. What's your take on this fight? I'm not going to lie, I don't know anything about Juan Adams.
Yeah, Juan Adams lost his last fight to a undersized Canadian wrestler, Bular. And after, you know, 4.5 minutes, he was slower than the Statue of Liberty and more brittle. He's quite limited. He's nowhere near the athlete Hardy is. I think he's getting a lot of credit because he's 6'5", Hardy's size, length, reach, et cetera. Juan Adams cuts weight to get to 265. He's a big boy, but I think that the difference in athletic the athlete in Hardy is going to make the difference here. And I think we could look back on this one, Cam and Gabe, and think, how could Hardy have ever been lined as a pick'em against this guy? I like Greg Hardy a lot in the fight.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this guy's wins, and, you know, he's beaten 7 and 9 fighters. All right, great stuff with Lou. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. Lou, gambling.com with us, talking UFC. We'll get a little NFL in before we let him go as well. We'll get Cam's golf.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You want to take home $1 million playing daily fantasy golf at the 2019 British Open? Become the 8th Daily Roto Lineup Optimizer user to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tourney and become one of the countless number of people that won thousands playing DFS. If you're playing DFS golf and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount and see how you can unleash the unbelievable power of the Daily Roto relationship with Data Golf. That's 10% using the promo code FNTSY when you sign up for DailyRoto.com for the Daily Roto Fantasy Golf Premium product. It's tea time. Get your 10% discount today, Morenci.
Thank you very much, Cam Stewart. I am Morenci. We're throwing it down to FanDuel Sportsbook, Meadowlands Racetrack in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Greg Hardy, minus 106 at FanDuel. Juan Adams, minus 116. Hard to pass up. Greg Hardy is an underdog in this fight. We're all on the same page here. I'm liking Leon Edwards at minus 116. I like Olynyk at plus 126. We got Hardy at minus 106, which leads us into James Vick and Dan Hooker. Lou, Vick and Hooker. Vick, the local Texan. As I talked about earlier, Vick is, Vick likes to talk. Cam was a good observation, Cam. There's a lot of loudmouths and dudes with bad intentions
yep.
on this card. Man, I can't believe Vick's already 32 years old. Where does the time go? He's from Mineral Well, Texas, taking on Dan Hooker. Vick's on a 2-fight losing streak right now. He talked all that crap to Gaethje, and then he got knocked the F out, Lou. And then he lost unanimous decision to Paul Felder. Meanwhile, we have Dan Hooker coming in here, the Kiwi from New Zealand. He was on a 4-fight win streak, but he lost Edson Barbosa in his last fight. What's your take on Hooker and Vick, Lou?
Yeah, it was the manner by which Dan Hooker was destroyed against Barbosa that displayed Hooker's grit and toughness on the one hand, but it also gives a little bit of question, hesitation, as to what kind of turnaround is he going to have from that fight. To me, that's really the only question with Hooker. I favor him in every aspect of this fight, but Vick, Gaethje's got some power, and Vick has been real chinny. That said, Felder, the loss to Felder isn't terrible. Felder is a grinding guy that returned back down, to a reasonable 155 after he went up to 170. So if Vic can avoid getting flushed by Hooker, this thing's got decision written all over it. Vic has no power. I don't see him finishing Hooker, but I could see him using high IQ. He needs a win. And I can see him using a little bit of reach advantage here and a little bit of height and just pitter-pattering his way to a decision here and getting some home cooking. Hooker open minus 185, and I think that's probably about right. So the betting markets come in on Vic a little bit here. To me, this is a easy over 2.5. I just don't know what kind of juice we're going to have to pay to get there. Now I'm looking right now. I see it 5 dimes. fight goes to decision plus 115. That's maybe where I would go to get a little taste of plus money here. Vit's not going to finish Hooker, and the question will be, is Hooker going to be able to catch up to Vit?
Alexander Hernandez was heavily hyped against Cowboy Cerrone. Cash that ticket. I was on the Cowboy. It's the kid's first fight since that loss, Lou. Now taking on another grizzled vet in Francisco Trinaldo. It's amazing how everyone just assumed that he was going to beat Cowboy up, and he got humbled. Now he gets a Trinaldo, sort of similar, you know, not similar in style, I guess, to Cowboy, but similar vet that's, you know, been around 40 years old, has seen it all, extremely mentally tough. What do you make of this fight here?
Yeah, I make this fight as a fight where the UFC gives Hernandez, who just got his PhD in MMA against Cerrone, as you pointed out, a ticket to fight at home in Texas against a 40-year-old guy that's clearly on the other side of his career. This is purely a setup match for Hernandez. We will get his absolute best effort bouncing off of Cerrone. He was flapping his gums, and he got totally embarrassed and schooled. I expect a focused, furious effort out of a pretty furious fighter in Alex Hernandez here. And, you know, I really like to lean dogs when I can. And I think this at minus 175, minus 185, there still may be a little bit of value on Hernandez here. I look at this as UFC getting Hernandez some momentum going again.
All right, well, we can't hit every fight, but here's a heavyweight fight for you here, Cam. Andre Arlovsky. Yeah, old school.
And Rothwell? Yeah. These guys have been around for a while, Gabe, I remember. That's a couple of grizzled vets there.
Combined
age. Yeah, not
age,
only that.
Let's see. Combined age. Rothwell's 37. Arlovsky's 40. Yeah. So combined age, 77.
That's old in the MMA game, buddy. 77? Woo!
Yeah, combined age, 77. And the number over here right now at FanDuel, minus 198. So, Lou, we've been looking at most of the faves here. Did you trust Arlovsky in the plus 160 range?
You know, I don't. But do I trust Rothwell at a minus 195?
Yeah.
Hell no. So, yeah, but the interesting thing about this is this is a rematch. These guys fought like 15 fights ago. And when they were both younger, Arlovsky in his prime, he knocked out Rothwell in the third round. Since then, they've gone on to have, you know, illustrious careers. Arlovsky maybe a little bit more than Rothwell. I think Rothwell has more left in the tank. I think he's gotten jobbed in his last couple of decisions. I think he's going to show up with a chip. Arlovsky has won two fights in his last 11. I think that's just the wrong way. And there's enough reason for me to feel compelled that Rothwell's probably the correct side. And so what I'll do is I'll wait to try and see if I can grab some kind of Rothwell inside the distance. In fact, that's plus 160. That's where I would go with this fight.
Andre Arlovsky has had a hell of a career. It's amazing what this guy's accomplished. Started fighting in 1999. It's amazing.
Craziness.
Yeah, but I remember in 2010, 2011, he lost to Fedor, he lost to Brett Rogers, he lost to Antonio Silva, and he lost to Karatinov. And I remember me and Odessa were like, this guy's done. Like, you know, he's got to stop. Like, he's been fighting forever, and, like, he's got to stop, and he's lost four fights in a row. Then he turned around, and he won, like, you know, five fights in a row. He lost Anthony Johnson at the World Series of Fighting. And then, boom, then he really got a second, or I should say a third or fourth win. Probably one of the many best runs of his career, beating Mike Kyle. I remember that fight in World Series of Fighting. You know, Brendan Schaub was a big win for him as a big underdog. Bigfoot Silva, I remember that fight. Travis Brown, Frank Mir. I never thought he would beat Mir that night. And then, you know, reality caught up in 2016 again. He lost to Miosic. He lost to Overeem. He lost to Barnett. He lost to Ngannou. He lost to Tabura. He beats Junior Albini. He beats Stefan Struve. And now he's on a four-fight losing streak again. Well, with one no contest in here. Like you said, he's hard to trust, but I don't really trust Rothwell as this type of favorite. If I had to bet it, though, I'd bet Rothwell.
No argument here.
Lou, gamblew.com. All right, Lou. Is there one more fight that we didn't bring up that you want to leave us? And then I'll give you an opportunity. We're talking about, I was talking earlier about Baker Mayfield. We were talking with Mark Lawrence, too, about the Cleveland Browns. So is there any last fight I didn't bring up you want to hit, Lou? And that was just a quick NFL on the way out.
That one more rematch is Jennifer Maya against the young lady Matafare. Matafare looks more like a nerdy librarian than a fighter, but she's going to have some great advantages. She's also on the losing end of a split decision when these two gals fought in 2016. Matafare's coming off a victory against Valentina Shevchenko's sister, which was a good fight for her. And I think she's live. And I like Matafare as a slight underdog against Jen Maya. And I haven't come close to releasing it yet, but this young Jin Su Sun, he got beat up pretty good by Peter Yan, but he made a good showing. He fought well against Yan on short notice. And he's fighting against an MMA lab kid. That's a Phoenix gym. Mario Bautista, and I think Mario Bautista is getting a little bit overlooked here as a plus 185 or so underdog, and I'm certain that I'm going to release Bautista. I'm just going to wait, watch the weigh-ins, and make sure everything's on the up and up before we pull the trigger.
Man, I really like this card. I'm fired up. You know what? I'm really fired up for betting this card. I like everything that we just talked about. Lou, gamblew.com. You get more details about his picks and what he's doing. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at gamblew, or his website, gamblew.com. And just quickly on the way out, Lou. So Baker Mayfield was talking about playing with Odell Beckham. Starts off okay. He's here to work. He wants to be surrounded by people who love him and support him and allow him to be himself. All right, fine. You know, I wouldn't have a problem if he says that. Then he goes on to say, he's here to play in front of fans who actually care, who will actually show up to every game and pack the stadium. This is the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns talking about the New York Giants, Lou. That target on their back gets bigger and bigger, dude, every day.
Pittsburgh to win the AFC North is plus 185 or plus 190. I would say run, don't walk.
I agree.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Bunch of gang. Thanks to Lou, gamblew.com for joining us. All right, countdown is on. I know we've got a couple of minutes. We better get to as many picks as possible. We've got a weather update, or at least a postponement, cancellation. The Tampa and Yankee games, the scratch camp.
Scratch.
it's strange. It's not raining right now. It's actually somewhat sunny. It's not sunny, but it's not cloudy. You know, it's weird with the Yankees. If you recall earlier, Cam, remember earlier in the year, the Yankees had a ton of rainouts and stuff. And there were a couple of times, like you could see behind me, it was like lightning and like, you know, things were so windy, things were toppling over and they wouldn't cancel the game. And people were pitching because they're like, I don't want to have to spend 2 hours going to Yankee Stadium to get there to find out the game is canceled. The thing is, they canceled this game at 6:33, Cam.
Yeah.
At this point, you try to play it out if you haven't canceled it. It's not raining. They're like, oh, it's supposed to rain later.
I don't know what the hell
the Yankees are a first-class organization, but I got to tell you, I've never seen an organization screw up rain and rain delays as much as this team does.
Yeah, it's very, very odd, Gabe. Yeah, I thought a couple games, but it's the only one on the board right now. And it was actually interesting. I really wanted to take a shot with Tampa Bay today with their pitcher. I thought against Herman, Buddy was pretty well. Who was it that it was their who? You know, the guy who's on fire. Yes. He was like plus 140. Good call. I was looking at him going, wow, that would have been a nice juicy dog, but we'll have to wait. I will say this, though, Morency. I can't believe that this parlay actually plays plus money, and we're trying to avoid them, but you're getting a minus 320 favorite in Cleveland with Houston tonight and Cole, and we talked to Mark Lawrence. Cleveland and Houston parlayed is actually plus, which is shocking to me. It's plus 102. I thought it would be about minus 140, but it's plus 102, even with a minus 300 Cleveland team with Clevinger against Turnbull of the Tigers. So I think that's kind of where I'm going to be leaning right now with a Houston-Cleveland parlay, and might take a shot with a couple more, but baseball is going to be very, very small tonight. I can tell you that.
Yeah, so listen, we're going to get to your golf camp. So let's blast through the baseball, but we won't go as in detail as we normally do, you know, with the pitching and everything. We'll get to the camp golf picks, but we'll just go through
There's not too many
LA,
games, Gabe.
LA and Philadelphia was a wild game last night. Ton of home runs. Dodgers were down 6-1. They come back. They take an 8-6 lead, only to give it back up once again and end up losing 9-8. Maeda's been the one guy that has sort of been the weak link, Cam, that the Dodgers have struggled. Maeda is 0-4 in his last seven trips to the hill after allowing three runs on four hits and 5 2/3 in an 8-1 loss at Boston. He's been taken deep at least twice in his last two starts as well. But we also have a flammable pitcher in Nick Pivetta. The Canadian Nick Pivetta has been getting lit up like Bob and Doug McKenzie on a Saturday night. Dodgers in the over tonight?
I wouldn't take the Dodgers in the over. Take the over. I actually think Maeda has been so bad. I kind of like Pivetta. I like the home dog in the over in that game. But
you like the over 11 though? It's high. It's 11 runs.
It is high. It's high. But I think both teams can get there. But I actually lean more to Philadelphia plus 150 to win the game. It's going to be a very small play, but I can't trust Maeda at minus 170, Gabe. Philadelphia might have got a little bit of bounce back in their step after the Harper walk-off, you know, the comeback against the Dodgers. Both of these pitchers struggle, but you're giving me 50 cents with the home team, with the Dodgers, one of their worst pitchers. Small play on Philadelphia.
Fetty is minus 176 against Baltimore. Should have just hammered Washington last night. Minus 176, Baltimore plus 152, total is 11.5 there. Cam mentioned Cleveland, Clevinger, minus 340 right now here at FanDuel.
Think about
Turnbull, plus 280.
Parlay, like, I'm shocked at the number. So, like, you think 320, you're like, what do I do with this thing? But the parlay with Cole, again, it's plus 102. I'm on Mr. Green there, but I got to believe even at FanDuel, if it's 340, not 320, you'll only be laying, like, minus 105. That's pretty good. Minus 110 tops. That's very good for Cleveland and Houston.
Last night, Cam, it was runs central. And the game went way over the number. Oh, a lot of games went over last night. But I'm looking at it. Why is the total 7.5 in this San Diego and Miami game?
Yeah, it's kind of odd.
Roger Clemens versus Randy Johnson tonight.
Yeah.
Chris Paddock versus Trevor Richards.
Yeah, it's George Richards' big and tall store versus horse in the paddock. I'm with you. I would have made this total 8.5, not 7.5. It's a little bit too low. I really don't trust San Diego. Gabe, that was one of my only winners last night. The Marlins kicked the crap out of the parlays with Yamamoto. Got one right there, but I don't think I'm going to go back to that well twice. I'm going to pass on this game, and I actually want to take the over, but I just can't trust Miami's offense after scoring that many runs. They might lay up only maybe two runs tonight. So I'm going to pass on that game.
We went to the well too many times with Lance Lynn. It finally caught up. Arizona wins last night. Game goes over. Son of a bitch. 9-2. Of course, the total's 10.
Such an idiot.
I've been a day late and a dollar short all week long, losing by one runs across the board. Tonight, we got Robbie Ray and Jesse Chavez on the hill here tonight. Total 10.5.
This is where I'm going back to Texas. Arizona will be a popular play tonight. Ray's good, but Chavez has been better. Texas is a good home team. The only reason they didn't get it done last night, everybody and their mother, Gabe, we were all on Lance Lynn. It was just bound to be a disaster. Tonight, I'm coming back to the Texas Rangers to rebound at plus one bet at home. it'll be a very small play. I only got three baseball plays for you.
We talked about the Boston Red Sox generally owning the Toronto Blue Jays, and they do. But the thing is, this isn't a great Red Sox team right now. They're big favorites once again tonight at minus 250. I don't want any part of it. I'm passing. It's Aaron Sanchez versus Eduardo Rodriguez.
I kind of like the over because I tell you the Jays can hit Rodriguez and they'll hit Sanchez. 11 looks like a lot, but when these teams get together, it's rake time, Morenci. I'd have a play to the over, but I'm with you. I think I'm just going to let this one slide, but Boston shouldn't be minus 250.
Chicago White Sox at Kansas City. Duff man against Nova.
Too many Duffs, Gabe. This week I've been drinking.
You always take them.
Nope, not this time. Sorry, too many Duffs. Hungover, pass, and I don't want anything to do with Nova. No, thank you. I'm leaving this game alone.
The Angels have been hot, man. 7-3 in their last 10. They're now 4 games over .500. True. It's crazy how this team wins without Mike Trout all the time.
It's weird.
Yeah, and then he's there and they don't. It happened last year, too. Where, he wasn't there, and suddenly they were like 12 games over .500. He comes back under .500. Gerrit Cole, though, tonight, I don't know. Tonight's one of the it's like all in on Houston night tonight. We went over the numbers with Gerrit Cole. I guess you put him in parlays. You've got your Cleveland-Houston parlay.
Yep, that's it. I can't take them at minus 185 on its own. Houston is one of those teams. The Angels are kicking their ass right now in that series, but that's what a true number one is, Gabe, him and Verlander. These guys stop bad streaks. So Cleveland and Houston parlayed to very small plus money. It makes the card.
All right. What does it pay? What'd you say? It was minus...
Plus 102. With your juice at the book there at FanDuel, I think you might be 105 because I got Cleveland at 320, and you said they were minus 340 at your book.
Oh, that's 340, yeah.
So you're going to probably pay a little bit more than that.
Man, I guess I'll
pick them.
I could tail you on it. I like where you're going with it. Don't forget, I like that. We like the that big favorite, New England, as well, Cam, in the MLS, -290.
Yeah, you can parlay that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They could be put in a parlay with something. All right, Cam, get to your golf, buddy. What do you got for us?
Well, Gabe, first I'm going to give you some DFS, and I love this lineup, and I think you're going to agree with some of these guys that I have here. So let's do this right now. On DraftKings, I have a lineup. I'm going to do probably two or three lineups, but with most of these same guys. I have to take John Rahm at $10,600. Take a look at the results, Gabe. He's been absolutely fantastic. Want to hear his last three tournaments, Gabe? Win, second, third. And this is at the Irish Open, the Spanish Masters, and the U.S. Open. Are you kidding me? You talk about Rory McIlroy, top five. John Rahm, he's taken the podium. Gold, silver, bronze. Win, second, third, his last three. He's in at $10,600. Next, we're going to go with Justin Thomas. I think he has the perfect game for this type of course at Royal Portrush. Finished ninth at the Scottish Open, 20th. He's been trending up since the Canadian Open there. I like Justin Thomas. I think he might win this whole damn thing. So I'm taking him at $9,100, guys. Really like him. Next, we're going to go with Henrik Stenson, Gabe, a guy that I really like for top 10 bets and top 20 bets. Very steady, too. Hey, Gabe, take a look at Stenson's last three tournaments, too. Fourth at the Scottish Open, ninth at the U.S. Open, eighth at the Canadian Open. Are we feeling it with Henrik, the king of Sweden? You're damn right we are. He's better than IKEA. $8,400. You want to go to IKEA and buy a cheap candle? Screw it. Stenson's going to bring you home some real dineros, euros, $8,400. Then we got Rafa Cabrera-Bello, I think, is one of the biggest sleepers I have. If you guys have multiple monies, which I pissed away in baseball, put him in multiple lineups. He's $7,500, Morenci, on DraftKings. He has to be played. Again, ninth at the Scottish Open, fourth at the Irish Open, and T3 at the BMW International, and he's $7,500. He is the best DFS steal. I love him for top 20s and top 10s. Hell, I think he could actually be top six. Give me Rafa Cabrera-Bello at $7,500. And the last two guys you can do, if you want to really save some money, I like Kevin Kisner at $7,300 and Bernd Wiesberger, who won last week in Scotland at 71. And if you want to mix and match those guys, another guy at a very good price, the smiling assassin, Andy Sullivan, $7,000. He has been, I can't believe his price too, Morenci. Listen to this one. You're not going to believe it. The guy is $7,000, and listen to these results. He's been almost top 20s everywhere. So I'm telling you, watch out. You get a lot of value. Cabrera-Bello is my favorite value guy, but that's my DFS team. And then when we're talking about regular bets, I really like the team this week, Gabe. Here's my six-pack. I'm going to take John Rahm at 18-1. If you can find him at that price, take him. I see him down to 16, but
that's your one and done, right? That's your guy you're going with.
It's him or Justin Thomas, and I went with Rahm. Yes, if I have a one and done, John Rahm, first, second, and third, last three events, give me Rahm at 18-1, Stenson at 28-1, Justin Thomas at 30-1. Then we have a couple value plays. Matt Wallace at 55, Rafa Cabrera-Baro at 66, and Burnt, I like my hamburger, Burnt Weisberger, at 66-1, and half unit plays on Andy Sullivan, 150-1, and Kevin Kisner at 141. I'm going to split those guys up. But Rahm, Thomas, Stenson, Cabrera-Baro, Wallace, Weisberger, those are the horses that I'm riding. But Gabe, you said it, my main horse, when we're going all in, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, those are my horses, and my favorite underdog for value, Rafa Cabrera-Baro, 66-1. What do you got for me?
Yeah, we had Dan Daly on this morning, actually. And Dan Daly is actually his bomb. His long shot is Cabrera-Baro.
So we're on the same page, man. I like that.
Me and Dan actually usually have the same winner. It's pretty crazy. And he hates doing this, Cam. He's got Brooks Koepka.
I know. That's, guys, if you want to make one, okay, here's what you're going to do. If I like Rahm and Thomas and take Koepka, that'd be a 10-1, an 18, and a 30, and then Cabrera-Baro. I can't bet Wallace, Stenson, or Weisberger. So you can knock out guys in your six pack to try to save
You guys
money,
are on the same page. Look, his top five, Cam, and I didn't even know. I said this earlier in the week that I like Matt Kuchar to be top 10, plus 320.
Pick. I like him, too.
So his top five is Matt Kuchar, Rory McIlroy, and then Henrik Stenson.
Yep.
Cabrera-Baro.
Wow.
Brooks Koepka. So look, Stenson's a bomb at 50-1 range. Cabrera-Baro's a bomb. Nice 66. Odds getting him. Nice odds getting him in a top 20. Dave, all right, Cam. So your one and done is John Rahm, though.
You said it, Rahm. Rahm's my guy.
All right, I'm going to be back at 8 o'clock tonight with Joe Ranieri and Brian Leonard. Wager Talk, Babana will step up and in as well. Cam Stewart will join us with Dave Martinez tomorrow night at 8. Hit the game live. We'll see you guys in an hour. Other than that, you're on your own.
Good luck tonight, buddy.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Here's what you missed on Game Time Decisions.
It's a racetrack. It's a very busy afternoon right now. The pony players are busted up Saratoga as we speak. You just heard Cam Stewart tell you that Mark Lawrence will be joining us. And Mark Lawrence will be joining us on the show. We'll talk Conference USA college football with Mark Lawrence, playbook.com's Mark Lawrence, LouGamblou.com will join us. It's only fitting if we're doing a show out of a sportsbook and racetrack that somebody named Gamblou joins us. We'll talk some UFC with Lou, maybe a little NFL as well. Of course, the countdown to the British Open is on. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart, no doubt, has a lot of plays ready to give us for the Open. What's up, Cam?
What's happening, Gabe? Yeah, you said it. Saratoga running right now. It's interesting. A lot of scratches in these races, too. It looks like a sloppy track. I was expected for me and you to get on some of these races while you're at the book, but diminished fields. As for the Open Championship, really starting to feel a couple guys. And Justin Thomas is a name that just keeps on popping out to me, but we'll talk more about him. And got you a six-pack, some DFS plays, and hopefully some top 10s and 20s. And let's make some money 3 weeks in a row. Baseball, who knows what's going to happen in baseball? So I'm going to hit the links. Or
last night was even more frustrating than Monday night was here last night. Cam,
I got smoked.
Baseball.
I got smoke, Gabe. Like
I can't handle teams coming back only to give the lead back again and then lose the game. It drives me crazy.
It drives me nuts, too. Horrible. Yeah, the Rockies tied it up last night. They lose an extras. Got to give San Francisco credit. They just scored again, leading again. Hottest team in baseball. They're grinding. But you say it gave these big favorites. Like, look at the Blue Jays taking out the Red Sox. Who knew Cashner was going to shit the bed? Not many people. This is the thing. It's a long, crazy season, buddy, and things that you expect don't happen. Weird day. Who thought the Mets would beat the Twins 14-4 today? What are you going to do?
Yeah, listen. It's a long season, man. It's a long baseball season. And even the worst teams in the league are going to rattle off five, six game win streaks, etc. Mm-hmm. We're right now, we're in the dog days of summer. Teams are starting to grind a little bit. It's hot, humid everywhere. And I know it sounds cliche, but even the best team loses like 60 plus times a year, Cam, in baseball. And, you know, it's just sort of the units. It's, you know, we're at the time now where that's all there's been the last couple of nights.
Be sure to follow all our social media at FNTSY Sportsnet and at FNTSY Radio.
And now I'm tweeting about you, bruh.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing.
Better. But what about protection for the rest?